Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Stealing My Best Friend, A Friends to Lovers Romance by Summer Brooks. Narrated by Sophia Willingham and Jeremy York. Prologue. Emily, 18 years old. It was all in the kiss. That was what my mom told me when I started dating. She said, "Emily, you can know everything you need to know from the first kiss. Listen to yourself. The kiss speaks a million words. If it doesn't leave you breathless and wanting more, you're kissing the wrong man." I never took her seriously. I figured a kiss was a kiss. Wrong. A kiss was never a kiss. I know that now because last year my best friend and I made the mistake of locking lips. And it was the best toe-curling kiss I had ever experienced. Right now, my lips were locked with Brock Hartwright, the all-star quarterback of Brooklyn High. He was what all the girls wanted. He was the best-looking, with short brown hair and bright blue eyes, an eight-pack and biceps made of stone. His jawline was cut to perfection, and his lips were soft. Not as soft as Vincent's. I did not need to be thinking of my best friend right now because that relationship was friend-zoned for life. He would never love me the way that I love him. I'd rather have him in my life as my friend than not at all. So here I was, making out with a guy who used way too much tongue and was getting way too handsy for my liking. I wasn't ready for that step, and Brock was used to getting into panties, but the ones he was getting tired of waiting to pull down were mine. Yeah, he was never getting into my lace Victoria's Secret. No way. It wasn't for the lack of effort on his part. He was kind of a gentleman. Kind of a jerk, too. Very pushy and cliché. Right now, we were on top of Lover's Cliff, the place where all the kids come to make out and do other things. It overlooks busy New York City with all the lights of the buildings and the stars above. It really was the perfect place, if it wasn't so perfect for everyone else, too. I pushed against his chest, his very firm chest, and pulled away. I wasn't even gasping for air. My hormones weren't going crazy. I wasn't, wet or turned on. Not the way Vincent turned you on. Oh, enough from the peanut gallery, stupid voice in the back of my head. Brock, wait. Stop, I said to him, leaning away from his lips. He groaned, scooted closer to me, and wrapped my hair around his finger. "Come on, Emily. We have been playing this game for a few months. It's time to get a little more serious now." I shoved at him again to get him away from me, and he slid across the leather seat, back behind the wheel. I said I wasn't ready for that, Brock. I don't want to. "When will you be ready, huh? I have needs, Emily. Needs. See?" He pointed to his cock, which was hard underneath his jeans, and honestly wasn't even that impressive, in my opinion. Not that I had seen a lot, but I had an imagination. And what he was packing? Meh. I scoffed, grabbing the door handle of the truck, seething with anger, and pointed to his needs. "You can have one of the other girls take care of your needs, because I'm not going to." "Whatever, Brock. We are through. Done. I'm not some conquest. If that was what you wanted, you're barking up the wrong damn tree. We are done."
"You're breaking up with me? Do you know how many women would want to be in your position right now?"
I rolled my eyes and stepped out of the car into the cold winter night, the wind blowing my hair across my face. "You mean the position of walking away? Probably plenty." I slammed the door, then opened it again because I forgot my purse. I gave him one final disgusted glare and slammed the door again.
"Emily!"
Brock yelled from inside the car, but I ignored him, spun on my heels, and walked away. Luckily, I didn't live too far from the Lover's Cliff. I could just walk home and I'd be fine. I sniffled from the cold air, and the breeze threatened tears in my eyes. Really, just from the breeze. I didn't feel used or like a cheap whore or anything. I was fine. Totally and completely fine. I blew out a breath, watching it swirl in the air, and blinked away the tears. Okay, I wasn't fine. I just wanted to go home and curl up in bed and put on my favorite movie, Casablanca. I was a sucker for old movies. I took out my phone from my purse and texted my best friend, Vincent.
Our friendship goes way back to when we were 11 and we have been inseparable ever since. Me. Brock is such a jerk. I broke things off with him. He wanted more than a kiss tonight. I made sure to add the eggplant and taco emojis. He didn't text back right away. He must have been with his new girlfriend, Victoria. Ugh, I hated her. She had this annoying, high-pitched voice and long, bleach-blonde hair that was way too light for her orange skin. Orange because she faked tanned and she always wore fake eyelashes. What did Vincent see in her? I had no idea. Maybe the sex was good, or maybe it was because her family was also filthy rich and birds of a feather flocked together and all that. My heart somersaulted a bit at the thought of him having sex with someone. I needed to put any and all feelings of Vincent Turner out of my mind and into the trash because we would never work. Not just because of him not wanting me, which would be the obvious number one reason, but also because of our families. He was rich, filthy rich. I was just some girl from Brooklyn, while he lived on the Upper West Side, where the riches lived. His parents hated that we were friends, hated me for sullying their son with my poor girl presence. I wasn't poor. I lived a very average lifestyle. My dad was a teacher, and my mom a manager at a real estate office. Did they make millions? No. Did we suffer? No. We always had food on the table, and only sometimes did the water bill not get paid. But it wasn't for the lack of money. It was because my parents are forgetful. I wiped my cheek as I meandered down the street. I crossed my arms to keep myself warm and heard a car coming up behind me. I picked up the pace, my heels kissing the pavement, as I tried to go faster than the vehicle. I always had this nightmare while walking alone that a car would see me, pick me up, throw me in the back seat, and then my body parts would be thrown outside the window, scattered across the United States. That was just my crazy imagination running wild. I knew that. Did I? Stupid voice. Now my paranoia was kicking in, and I started to walk faster, only to have the car roll up beside me and roll down its window.
"Emily, get in the car. Let me take you home," Brock said,
speaking to me as the car inched forward with every single one of my steps. My bottom lip trembled, threatening to cry. I would not let him see how he made me feel. Brock, I knew for a fact, had made plenty of girls cry. I never wanted to be with him, but he won me over with his wide smile and deep dimples. He flashed it at all the girls, and I guess I was just as weak in the knees as the rest of them when it came to classic good looks.
"Go away, Brock. Stop this nonsense and come on. We can pick up where we left off."
I stopped walking, and the car rolled ahead a few yards before the red light glowed in the night from his brakes and he reversed.
"Brock, it is over. Go away. I called Vincent to come get me."
It was a lie, but he wouldn't question it, since Vincent and I were always together.
"Whatever. Walk in the dark for all I care. You aren't worth all this."
Brock sped away so fast the tires spun on the road, leaving me in the wake of smoke and burnt rubber.
"I can't believe I dated that asshole,"
I muttered, and ran my hands up my arms when a chill ran through me. I only had a 10-minute walk, so I made the most of it and enjoyed the silence. A few tears fell, but not from heartbreak, just from Brock being a complete jerk. My boots made my feet throb, and the heel kept getting caught in the broken cracks on the road. Frustrated, I paused and took a deep breath before losing my mind and yanking my shoes off just to walk home in socks. I breathed a sigh of relief when the familiar yellow mailbox came into view. When it was warm, honeysuckle grew all over it, and the mailman hated to leave mail in it because of the bees, but my mom would never change a thing about it. She was a bee lover and planted more flowers every year for them. I opened the old iron gate, and it creaked from the rust coating the hinges over the years. Dragging my feet down the walkway, I let the tears flow freely now and checked my phone again, but no word from Vincent, which really sucked because I needed my best friend right now.
"Took you long enough to get here."
A sad smile broke over my face when I saw Vincent with a pint-sized carton of ice cream. He sat there on the swing, his feet pushing against the deck, and his hair curled at the ends in front of his eyes as he tried to flick the strands out of his face.
"You're here,"
I said, as emotions took over and I ran to him, wrapping my arms around his neck. He smelled so good, not of cologne, but of a fresh shower and soap. Having him here made me feel so much better.
Heartthrob Heartwright made you cry.
He pulled back and wiped the tears off my face as I sat down next to him. Breaking up with him isn't what made me cry. He was a jerk. He was pushing me to do things I didn't want to do.
That asshole tried to force you.
The anger dripping from his voice made my heart skip a beat.
I'll kill him.
No, it's fine. It wasn't like that. He was just pushy. It's done now. Just forget it. I exhaled and laid my head on his shoulder. I didn't think you got my message. He opened the ice cream container and gave me a plastic spoon. Chocolate, my favorite. Of course I came. My phone died right when I was messaging you back. Victoria wasn't too happy that I left in the middle of our date, but whatever. I got up, needing some space between us, and walked toward the door. Come on, let's watch a movie and you can tell me all about you and Victoria. I drawled out her name in annoyance. He entered behind me, and when he placed his hand on my lower back for a split second, it took my breath away. I hated it. I hated how my heart wanted him. I didn't want to want him. We climbed up the steps, and when I turned around so I could get some more ice cream, I slipped on the very top step, falling right on my butt. Instead of being embarrassed, I just laughed because Vincent was shaking his head at me with a big smile on his face.
What am I going to do with you, Emily?
He helped me by grabbing my hand and lifting me with ease. He was strong because of the wrestling he did. He was one of the best in the country. Vincent was tall, well over 6'2", and built. He had these light brown puppy dog eyes and pink, pouty lips. He had a bit of acne on his cheeks, but didn't we all? Vincent was the best guy I knew, and I would never be more than a friend to him.
Still with these boy band posters?
Come on. I hate seeing these things when I'm over here. He said, sitting on the bed and turning on the TV.
Rock, paper, scissors. Blood and guts or romantic comedy?
Deal. I squealed and jumped on the bed, placing my fist on my other palm. And don't hate on my boy bands. They can hear you. He stuck the spoon in his mouth and left it there, getting into position.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
He mumbled around the white plastic. Ha! Paper beats scissors. I win. Blood and guts it is. I was the only one who knew that his favorite movies to watch were romantic comedies. I got my favorite bloody horror film ready and popped it in the DVD player. So, what were you and Victoria doing?
Don't act like you care. I know you don't like her.
I shrugged a shoulder, pretending that it didn't bother me that he was with her.
You're just jealous because you and I kissed last year and now Victoria gets my lips all to herself.
I turned around and my jaw dropped to the floor, stunned that he would say that. I knew that he was joking by the smile on his face. I crinkled my nose and gagged, wanting to make sure he got the hint that I was not interested.
No.
Ew, gross. She can keep your mouth. I remember it the first time, and... I lifted my hand and shook it from side to side. It was okay.
Whatever.
He mumbled with pink cheeks.
Don't hate on Victoria. She is more than what meets the eye. Give her a chance. You never give any of my girlfriends a chance.
I wasn't too sure why those words hit me harder than everything he had ever said about his girlfriends. It felt so official that I would never be more than the friend to Vincent Turner. Carrying that pain around was too much. From this moment on, I locked my crush for him and threw away the key. All dirty thoughts, all wants, all hopeful dreams of us were dead from now on.
Chapter 1. Vincent. What was the point of wishing if nothing ever came true? All the stars, all the birthday candles, all the eyelashes or pennies found, all the luck that was supposed to be, never was. My life was what people dreamed about. I had money, the nice house, the nice car, a driver, housemaids, butler, my own chef. I had everything someone could possibly want. Except love. I was a sucker for love. I loved romance. Not that I'd ever admit that to anyone, but the big shows of love, The corny messages, the sweet nothings. Those were the things that made people fall in love and stay in love. Seeing my frigid parents after all these years made me realize that I wanted more for myself than their cold love. The tension between them was so thick, and the temperature in the room would drop so much, I wondered if it would snow. They were only together for appearances. It would look awful on the Turner name if they got divorced. My mother's exact words. Mine were, "Who cared?" Image was everything to Natalie and Hawthorne Turner, and it made being their son a chore sometimes. My father had been grooming me to take over the company since the day I was born, and he was set to retire in a few years, but he wouldn't do it until I was married. He believed the company needed to have strong family values and that a married man looked better than a bachelor running the multi-billion-dollar dream that he'd built from the ground up. Everything was always for the image. He never cared about happiness.
"Happiness never paid the bills," he'd say.
What about being sane? I refused to live a life void of all things that would bring me joy because my parents frowned upon it. Hell, the one thing I'd fought tooth and nail for since I was 11 was my friendship with Emily, and my parents hated that friendship. They despised it, her, and her entire family. It was because they drove Hondas, and we drove Aston Martins and Audis. I never cared about that kind of thing. It was frivolous, in my opinion. My friendship with Emily had kept me grounded over the years. We were 27 now, all grown up, and the best of friends. While I worked for the Turner Corporation, she was a successful wedding planner. People came from all over the country for her to make their wedding the perfect day. She made dreams come true. I wasn't surprised at all when she told me how well she did for herself. Emily was a go-getter, smart, tenacious, and she had a wicked mouth on her. She didn't deal with anyone's shit. Sometimes I wondered if it was her that was born into the wrong family. She'd do so much better in my position. And beautiful. She had grown up to be so fucking beautiful that it hurt to look at her sometimes. There was nothing I could do about how I felt, either. She didn't feel that way about me, and what could I do anyway? Ruined 16 years of the most important friendship I had in my entire life? No thanks. It was a slippery slope, but the love I had for her would forever be buried deep, where the sun would never touch it, and it remained in darkness for eternity. There were so many reasons why we wouldn't work. The list was too long. It made every Sunday that we met for ice cream a little more unbearable. Every time she got a bit of ice cream on her lip, I wanted to wipe it off, or taste it myself. Last time I had the pleasure of tasting her was when we were 17. We both called it a mistake because it freaked us out. For me, I had a hard time wrapping my head around the fact that my best friend's lips felt better than the few other girls I'd kissed. I didn't understand why. A part of me was worried we had ruined our friendship. The other part of me knew I'd forever be in love with Emily Harrison, and I knew the friendship was the only sane thing I had in my life at that moment. So I called the kiss a one-off, something that could never happen again, and she agreed, said it was a stupid thing for us to do. But it wasn't. Fuck no, it wasn't. I still dreamed about the kiss. I still woke up from a heated dream with a sheen of sweat over my skin and my cock straining in my briefs. The kiss fucking ruined me. I've had other girlfriends, and Emily had been there by my side, grinning and getting to know them as if they were going to be the best of friends. I always broke up with the girls. I always found something I didn't like about them because none of them were Emily. I was doomed to live a life on the sidelines, trying to find someone who made me feel an ounce of what Emily made me feel. That kiss we shared ruined everything anyway, no matter how much I made sure it didn't. I said that because I think if we hadn't kissed, this sense of what if wouldn't be hanging over my head. I wouldn't know what her breath felt like on my lips, or how soft her mouth was, or how sweet she tasted. I think because of that, the way I felt for her forever changed, no matter how much I pretended otherwise.
"Mr. Turner?"
My secretary Olivia knocked on the door as I stared out over the city. I had my hands in my pockets, comfortable, and I couldn't get over how we worked in one of the tallest buildings in New York with the best view. I could see everything, even the bay. It wasn't a pretty day. The clouds were rolling in, dark and looming. A bit of lightning flashed in the distance, and the bay, which was usually a bright blue, but today it was ominous and murky. The city was still beautiful, though. I loved the hustle and bustle of it all. The traffic, the lights, the people. This was where people came to make their dreams come true. New York City was wondrous.
Mr. Turner?
Olivia said my name again, and this time I blinked and rubbed my hand over my eyes to wake up. I sighed. Sorry, Olivia. It's one of those days. Olivia was around my age, maybe a bit younger, with long brown hair that was always tied back into a bun. A hair was never out of place. I often wondered if her head ever hurt from it. She wore thick, black-framed glasses that made her eyes look bigger than they were, and she had this nasty habit of always biting the ends of her pens or pencils, like she was doing right now. But she was a damn good secretary.
Do you need me to get you another latte? I told you we should just put a coffee machine in your office. You always get a little spacey when you don't have your two usual vanilla lattes in the morning.
I hated that she knew that. No, it's fine. I'm trying to cut back. What did you need, Olivia? I finally took my gaze off the tall buildings over the city and turned around to face her. My fingers ran along the edge of my desk that I had imported from Italy before I circled around it and sat down in my oversized leather chair. She blinked at me for a second, as if she also forgot what she came in here for, and then placed that damn pen in her mouth. It made my lips curl in disgust. Some might find it cute or endearing, but all I saw was germs.
Oh, right, your father is online too. Says it's urgent.
The red blinking light on my desk phone told me my father had been waiting this entire time. We never kept Hawthorne Turner waiting. He was a floor above mine in the building, the CEO and president. I leaned back in the leather chair as it squeaked, not really wanting to get into a fight with my father, which was what every conversation with him led to. He was a bossy man. It was his way or the highway, and talking to him was like talking to a brick wall if you were saying something he didn't care about. You could have led with the fact that my father was on the line instead of the coffee.
Right, I could have,
Olivia muttered underneath her breath before spinning on her stilettos and strutting back to her desk. She hated my father. No, let me rephrase. Everyone hated my father. I loved the man, but I didn't like him. There was a difference. I took a deep breath, closed my eyes, and picked up the phone. Once I had it against my ear, I pressed the red button. I didn't even say anything before he started barking in my ear and coughing up a lung because he got himself so worked up.
About time you answered your damn phone!
A few long seconds of smoker's cough attacked him. It was the most disgusting sound, the buildup of crap in his chest trying to come out. But that was what he got for smoking every day for 20 years.
I hate to be kept waiting, Vincent.
So sorry, Father. What do you need? I already sent the proposal on the Southside project.
This isn't work-related. Your mother and I want you over for dinner tonight.
Cough, cough, nasty fucking cough. God, the man just needed to retire already. We don't have dinner together until Wednesday. What's wrong? I started to get a bit weary. Whenever they invited me over outside of the schedule, something always happened that I didn't agree with. He coughed again, and I took the phone away from my ear. For a moment, I thought he might cough on me.
Nothing. Can't we just have dinner with our son?
There it was, the tone. The tone that said, yes, but we aren't going to tell you until you get to the house and are trapped and have nowhere to go. Fine, I can move things around and I'll be there.
Good, he said. Kira will be there too. You remember her, Jack's daughter.
My arm landed on the desk with a thud and it shot tingles up the funny bone of my elbow. I cradled it and screamed silently from the weird sensation. Of course I remember her. The Williams have been our neighbors for the last 5 years, Father. Kira was nice, but that was all she ever was to me. She was pretty, in a pretty basic way, in my opinion. She had long blonde hair that always looked like she'd just come back from the beach. Kira just wasn't my type. She and I had developed a good friendship over the years, but nothing more than that.
Good. It will be a nice dinner.
I looked at the phone when I realized he'd hung up, leaving me in complete confusion. Kira and her family coming over for dinner wasn't new, but what was new was how out of the blue it was. My mother planned for this sort of thing weeks in advance. Everything always had to be perfect. I snatched my phone from the corner of my desk and texted Kira, asking her if she knew about the dinner tonight. All she sent back was an emoji with weird eyes and then a guy emoji. Great. So she knew as much about it as I did. This was serious and needed serious conversation. I texted Emily next and told her to meet me at our spot, like we usually do every Sunday, and let her know it was an SOS. I grabbed my tailored jacket from the coat rack and slipped out the door. I had this terrible feeling in my gut, the kind that gnawed until it made me sick. My phone dinged, and it was Emily.
I'm out of town for a wedding, remember?
Shit. How the hell was I supposed to calm down if my sidekick wasn't here? My parents were plotting. That was never good. It meant change. I didn't mind change when it was because of something I did to set it in motion, but when someone went out of their way to change my life, it pissed me off. So just what were they planning? Something told me I wouldn't like it.
Chapter 2. Emily. The message I received from Vincent left me a little unsettled. He was always a bit dramatic, but he rarely sent an emergency message. I was in Vermont, though, making sure someone's wedding went well. Not mine, because that seemed like it was never going to happen, double-checking the flowers and every other minor detail before the bride had another meltdown. Last night, the bakery had called about the cake. Their oven exploded, like it burst into flames and nearly took the building with it. I hated that for them. This was someone's business. I knew how important that was. They would have to start all over, from scratch, and build their way back up. How exhausting. I couldn't imagine. That would be like me moving to California and starting my business all over. Not a chance in hell. My business, the wedding lady, only did as well as it did because of word of mouth. I had grown so much in the last 4 years, I had to open up a small office and hire a few more wedding planners. I was booked 2 years out, and people were lining up for me to make their dream day come true. The only day that was missing was mine. Ugh, I didn't even have a boyfriend. I was still waiting for Mr. Wright. At this rate, I was going to be an old lady with 50 dogs. I hated cats. I didn't want to be a cat lady. It was hard, seeing everyone around my age getting married. Everyone I went to high school with, most of my college friends, all of them had found their soulmates and were popping out babies left and right. Sometimes creating a bride's fantasy was emotionally draining, because I knew I'd never get to experience it. Well, some of it. I'd be okay without the bride freakouts. This bride, Lori Spellberg, was as sweet as can be, but she panicked over everything, and after the bakery blew up, she fainted at the dinner rehearsal when I broke the news to her. She actually fainted. Her fiancé caught her just in time before she smacked her head on the hardwood floors. That would have left a nasty bruise, or an egg-shaped knot on her forehead, which would have been impossible to cover up for the wedding. Having dealt with fainting brides before, I grabbed ice-cold water and tossed it on her face. She gasped for air and spit out the water that was sucked into her mouth. Worked every time. And then she started crying. Big, fat alligator tears rolled down her face, and she was saying something about everything being ruined because they didn't have a cake now. I found that insulting because of course I'd have a backup plan. Geez, these people must have thought I was an amateur. Not an award-winning wedding planner who had been on the cover of Vogue, not to toot my own horn, but toot fucking toot.
I calmed her down by calling in a favor at a bakery in New York City.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?